once a long time ago, there was a Yid, a Talmud Chachem. He learned that he davened, that he did mitzvahs. And it came time that he had a chasana and he got married. And his father-in-law, that means his wife's father, Baruch Hashem, was a rich man. He was a businessman. And he said to the chasan, his son-in-law, "You sit and learn and daven, and you become even a bigger Talmud Chachem, and I'm going to give you all the money you need. I'll give you a place to live together with my daughter, and you will not have to worry about anything. I want you to learn and daven and make yourself halik and close to Hashem, and I'll take care of you." So the shver, the father-in-law, he worked. Of course, he also learned and daven, but not as much as the son-in-law. And the Talmud Chacham, son-in-law, sat and learned and davened the whole day without having to work, except working in Torah. Everything was fine for a few years. After a few years, the mazel of the shver went from very good to the opposite. And he started losing his money and losing his businesses, and different things happened. Until, instead of a rich man, he became a poor man. He did not have all the money that he had before and all the businesses, and he did not have the way to give his son-in-law and his daughter the money. So now the son-in-law, the Talmud Chacham, he was not able to sit and learn and daven the whole day. He had to go to work. What did he do? He bought a wagon. He bought some horses, and he started to be a businessman. What was a businessman? What did he do? He would go to a city, and he would buy a whole bunch of stuff over there for a good price, like pots and pans, and clothes, and food, and material, and jewelry, and different things. And then he would go to a different place, far, far away from the big city. And there were market days, like in different towns and different places. And he would go over there and set up his wagon like a store. And people would come and buy. And they would pay more money, because you buy in one place for cheap and you sell in another place for more expensive. And with the money, that's the way he made a living. That's called a businessman. He would buy and sell and travel and go around. And he did not like it. He had to do it to make a living. Why he didn't like it? Because he was so busy traveling and buying and selling, he did not have as much time like he would like to learn and daven. But what could he do? He had to make a living, and he did his best. One time, he was on a business trip. He had gone to a big city, and his wagon was full of stuff. He bought so much clothes and so much jewelry and pots and pans and dishes and cups and saucers and material and shoes. He filled his wagon, and the horses could hardly move the wagon. It was going very slowly. And he was traveling home. He was on his way home. The wagon was going very, very slowly. All of a sudden, he remembers, "Oi, look what day it is already. You know, I'm so busy, sometimes I don't even think what day it is. It's Erev Shavuos. It's the day before Shavuos. And here I'm traveling, and I'm trying to go home, and I'm going so slow with all this stuff. And now I'm in the middle of the forest. I know where I am. I'm very far away from my home. What am I going to do? Going at this rate, very slowly, I'll never make it. I'll never make it in time for Yom Tov. What should I do?" All of a sudden he remembers that he is actually closer to the town of Liadi than to the town where he lived. Now, in the town of Liadi, at that time, lived the Alter Rebbe. And this Talmud Chacham and this businessman was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe. And all of a sudden, as he remembered that he's close, actually, not on the road. If he takes the road, he'll also never make it to Liadi. But if he takes a shortcut through the forest, and if he walked very fast, and he climbed over rocks, and he went through bushes, and he went over rivers, he would maybe even make it in time for the Alter Rebbe to be in Liadi for Yom Tov. To go home with a wagon, forget it. To go through the forest to Liadi, to be by the Alter Rebbe for Yom Tov, it's a chance. And he decided, okay, he'll do it, but what's he going to do with his wagon? With all of his stuff? All of his things? With his whole parnasa, all of his money and everything? There's no place to put it. There's no garage there in the middle of the forest over there. There was no hotel. He decided he's going to leave it there by the side of the road. He's going to walk through the forest, and he's got to get to the Alter Rebbe by Yom Tov. And that's exactly what he did. He left everything right there in the middle of the forest without anybody watching it. And he started going through the forest, off of the road, over rocks, by trees, through little rivers, through bushes. And finally, about Mincha time, Erev Shavuos, right before the end of the Shavuos, he finally arrived in Liadi. He went right to the shul, and he came into the shul by Mincha time. When he walked into the shul, the Alter Rebbe was already in the shul, and the Alter Rebbe, when he saw this chassid walk into the shul, nobody said anything to anybody, but the Alter Rebbe called over his son, one of his sons. It doesn't say in the story which one. The Alter Rebbe had a few sons, and he told his son, you see this chassid? This is a chassid with Mesiras Nefesh. The Alter Rebbe didn't explain, but the son was curious what the Alter Rebbe means, because the man walked in and didn't tell the Alter Rebbe anything, and you know, who knows what's going on over here. But of course the son became very curious to find out, why is this a chassid with Mesiras Nefesh? In other words, that the Alter Rebbe should say this is a chassid with Mesiras Nefesh. And the daven mincha. And during the Yom Tov, the Alter Rebbe's son went to this chassid, and he asked him different questions. He wanted to find out, who is he? What does he do? What are his mitzvahs? He wanted to find out what the Alter Rebbe meant, that this is a chassid of the Mesiras Nefesh. And he found out this whole maisa, that this chassid had left his wagon in the middle of the forest with all of his things on it, without anybody to watch it. And he came through the forest to be by the Rebbe for Yom Tov. This certainly is Mesiras Nefesh. Well, Yom Tov went by. After Yom Tov, there was Yechidus, where the chassid goes to see the Rebbe before he goes home to have a bracha. And this chassid now went into the Alter Rebbe after Yom Tov. And he didn't say a word, he just went in. As soon as he went in, the Alter Rebbe smiled at him. And he says, don't worry, your wagon and all of the things on the wagon are going to be there, b'shlemus. Nothing is going to be taken from them, everything is okay. And then in Yechidus, the chassid tells the Rebbe, in Yechidus, the chassid can ask the Rebbe for a bracha, or maybe tell the Rebbe a problem and ask for an eitzah, ask for a help on the problem. What did the chassid say to the Alter Rebbe? He started telling the Alter Rebbe about what had happened, that he used to be able to learn and daven a whole day, and his father-in-law took care of him, and the father-in-law became poor, and he has to work the whole time. And the only thing that bothers him is that he just doesn't have so much time for learning and for davening the way he used to, and the kind of business that he has is very, very involving. That means he's so busy and he's traveling and he's working. He just wishes that it was different and he'd have more time to learn and daven and do mitzvahs. Welcome, Allah. Yeah. The Alter Rebbe told him, don't be anymore such a businessman that you're traveling around and buying and selling. Instead, do something else. Get a hotel. The hotel has a restaurant. You'll be in one place. You'll work in the hotel, giving rooms to people and taking care of the people. And your wife could also help out in the restaurant part with the food and taking care of the restaurant part and the hotel also. And you'll be in one place and you'll make money and you'll be able to have much more time for your learning and your davening. And so this is what the Alter Rebbe told the Chassid. The Chassid left Yechidus. He was very, very happy. He went out back into the forest. And now, he waited till the next morning after Yontif. He must have had Yechidus the night after Yontif. Now he goes back the next morning through the forest. And just at that time, before he arrived to his wagon, there was traveling through the forest a poritz. A poritz was traveling just on that road. And as the poritz was traveling, he all of a sudden came upon this wagon that's right there in the forest, loaded up with boxes and boxes of stuff. And nobody is there. The poritz stopped his wagon, and he got out, and he climbed up on the other wagon, and he starts looking and seeing the boxes, all of this expensive stuff, a lot of very valuable things. It must belong to some kind of a big businessman, and nobody's there to watch it. Now, the poritz was not going to steal anything. He was just concerned why somebody would leave so much money without somebody watching it. And he looks all around, behind the trees and in the bushes over there. Who in the world owns this wagon? What happened to the man? And as the poritz is there, all of a sudden there comes through the forest this chassid, this Talmud Chacham who had been by the Alter Rebbe for Shavuos, all of a sudden he comes over there through the forest, and he goes over to his wagon, and he sees, Baruch Hashem, everything is here. The poet says, the poet now came, all of a sudden he sees this poet standing there. The poet says, is this your wagon? And all of this is your stuff? And the Yid says, yes it is. How could you leave it? How could you leave it here in the middle of the forest without watching it? Somebody can come and take it. After all, if you're going to go away for an hour or two, you should have somebody watching it. And the Yid says to the poets, well, I wasn't just away for an hour or two. You know how long I was away from this wagon? For 3 days. I've been away for 3 days, and now I came back. The poet scratches his head. You mean 3 days you're not here? And it's still here, and everything is here in the middle of the forest, where there could be travelers, or there could be robbers? Anybody could come and take everything. You mean 3 days it's here, and nothing is missing? That's right, says the Yid. The poet says, that's impossible. How could it be? Where were you for 3 days? What do you mean you leave it in the middle of the forest? And the Yid told the poet the whole story. He was traveling, and all of a sudden he sees that he's not going to make it home for Yontif. It was a Yiddish Yontif, and he went through the forest to be by his Rebbe. And his Rebbe told him that all the things would be here when he gets back, and he comes back and everything is here. And now, he's going to go home. And he also told the poets what the Alter Rebbe had said about becoming the owner of a hotel. He told him the whole thing, told him the whole maysa. The poet saw, this is an amazing thing. Even he could understand that this is an amazing thing. And he also says to the Yid, you know what? It's very interesting that I came here just now with what your rabbi told you, because I'll tell you what. In my town, where I'm a poet, there's a hotel, and there's no owner now to the hotel. Something happened, whatever, he's not around. And there's nobody to take care of the hotel. It's a beautiful hotel with a nice restaurant. And it's such a town that there's a lot of people there and a lot of people traveling there. You could make a very nice living if you took that hotel. I'll tell you what. You look like an honest man. You come to my town, and there are also Jews living in that town, so you'll have your shul, and you'll have your Jewish things over there, and all of your kosher food and everything. You come to my town, you'll be the hotel man in my town, your wife will take care of the things also, and I will rent you the hotel, you'll pay me the money, and I'm sure you'll do a good job to take care of it, and I'm a fair man, and I'll let you be there without being too expensive. Well, the Yid said, it sounds very good, there's only one problem. You know, does the hotel, like, does it have, like, all the beds, and it has all the sheets, and it has everything for it? I mean, there's a lot of things for a hotel to start it. I mean, I don't have so much money. In fact, you know, I really don't have too much money at all to all of a sudden buy all the food for the restaurant, and all the pots and pans. I have to make it a kosher hotel. I mean, I want Jews to come there also. I have to change over the stoves, kosher out everything. I have to buy new dishes, and I have to, you know, make it nice over there. I don't know what kind of a condition it's in, and I have to buy all the things there. The poet says, look, any money you need, I will lend you. I will give you all the money you need for your hotel. You pay me back, because you're going to make a good living over there. So don't worry, whatever you need, you'll have it. I'll charge you rent, it's going to be fair. Just come to my hotel. The Yid saw that this must be a part of the bracha from the Rebbe, to meet this Poritz, that exactly has the hotel, and the Rebbe told him he should go to have a hotel. So he decided that he's going to go home, he's going to sell all of his stuff, and he's going to take his wife and his family, and they're going to move to the hotel in the Poritz's town. And that's exactly what he did. He got his family ready, and now they traveled to the town of the Poritz to become the new hotel owners or renters. And as now the family is riding down the street in this town, and they have their suitcases with them, they have their things, they're moving. They're all together moving. They had the address of the hotel. They're going through the street, and all of a sudden, the Yidden in the town, they say, "Hey, look! It's a new Jewish family! They're moving into our town! Let's go see Shalom Aleichem!" And they run over to the wagon. "Hello! Shalom Aleichem! Are you coming to live in our town?" "Yes, yes, we're coming to live in your town." "Oh, very nice. Where are you going to live? What are you going to do here?" "Well, we're going to go live in the new hotel." I'm sorry. "We're going to go live in the hotel." It wasn't new, but they're the new owners. "We're going to rent the hotel from the Poritz. We're going to take care of the hotel. And we're going to run the restaurant. We're going to even make it a kosher restaurant that the Jews can come and eat there. Isn't that great?" All of a sudden, the faces of the people, instead of smiling and being happy, they turned white, like they were afraid. And they looked very upset. You're going to the hotel? Oh, no. No. What do you mean, oh, no? What's wrong?" And the Yidden said to them, "You probably don't know a very important thing about that hotel. The Poritz probably did not tell you. The Poritz probably did not tell you why the hotel is empty. Did you figure out why such a nice hotel and such a nice restaurant in a place where there's a lot of people? Did you ever figure out why it's empty? How come nobody's there?" "Well," the Yid said, "I don't know exactly. I guess people moved away." And the Yidden said, "No, not that they moved away. That would have been lucky if they move away. They died. The people that owned the hotel, they died." And the Yid says to the other Yidden, "Well, I'm sorry, I guess it happens that a person dies, right? I mean, it's very sad, but I mean, I understand that people owned the hotel and somebody died, so they can't take care of the hotel." The Yidden shook their head, "You don't understand. Every year, new owners go to the hotel, and every year they die. And the next year, new people go to the hotel and they die. Not old people, young people, middle-aged people. Every year there's owners of the hotel, and for some strange reason, nobody ever figured it out until recently. They got sick and they died. Whoever owned the hotel, they died. Isn't that strange? But we found out why. Because the neighbors of the hotel, next door there's a house, and the people in the house are not regular people, but the husband and the wife, both of them are witches. Not only the wife is a witch, the husband is also a witch. For a long time, nobody figured out why the hotel people die, until they found out that the people next door, somebody saw them in the night, and in their house, they take out all kinds of witch things, crystal balls and pots boiling with magic stuff, and magic wands and different witch things that they use, and they made curses on the people in the hotel. They didn't like the hotel. There's noise in the hotel. There's wagons. There's animals that go to the barn from the people that come with their horses. And in the restaurant, the dishes make some noise. And sometimes people make over there some kind of a party, or they make a l'chaim over there. Sometimes the yidin go over there, and they make a l'chaim over there, and they sing. And the next door neighbors always scream, "Be quiet! Don't make any noise! Don't make any noise! Be quiet! We have to have quiet!" And at first, they just thought, you know, the neighbors don't like noise. They try to be quiet, but after all, it's a hotel. There's a lot of people. And the neighbors would scream, "You don't sing over there! Quiet! We don't want to hear any singing!" Okay, the neighbors will try to make it quiet. But listen, you know, sometimes you have it's a hotel, there's parties, whatever. Until they found out that the next door neighbors were real witches. And they made curses on the hotel owners. And because of these curses, the hotel owners died. And now the hotel is empty. And really it should stay empty. For sure, you should not go there with your family. Because of the neighbors next door. Don't let it happen to you. And the Yid said to the other Yidin, "But I'm not worried. You know why? I'm not coming here just regular. I'm coming here because my Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, he told me that I should become a hotel owner. And he said my wife should help take care of the restaurant. And we're going to make a good living. And over there I'm going to learn in Davin. And do mitzvahs. I'm not worried. I'm not going to worry about no witch. Hashem is in charge of the world, and my Rebbe wouldn't tell me anything that chas v'shalom from it would come out anything like curses from a witch. Don't worry about it." And so, Kimelach, the Yid and his family, they moved into the hotel. They put up mezuzahs. They made the kitchen over there in the restaurant a kosher kitchen. And they made all the dishes kosher. And they put up Yiddish nice things in the hotel. And they put Sfarim there. And Yidin can come and stay there. And if Goyim wanted to come and stay there in the hotel also, they could stay there. And they can eat in the hotel. And so, Kinalach, the poets were in the town. He helped the Yid buy whatever he needed. And people came to stay in the hotel. And Baruch Hashem, he made money, and he was able to pay the poets back the rent, and he paid them back for the money that he lent them. And once in a while, when it got a little bit noisy, the neighbors next door would scream out, "You be quiet! Don't make any noise! Don't make any noise in that hotel! We don't like it here! We don't like the noise!" And the Yid would go over to them and say, "Okay, you know, we're trying to keep it quiet." And once in a while they had over there a Yiddish simcha. People came to the hotel to make some kind of a simcha. And sometimes they were singing, sometimes it was a little bit loud. And the neighbors would scream, "No, you be quiet! Be quiet, you have to keep it down! We want it quiet over here, don't make any noise!" And the Yid would tell her, "Okay, we'll try to be quiet, you know. We're not going to try to disturb you. We know you're the neighbors." He tried to be very nice to the neighbors. But kinelach, in the night, once in a while, somebody from the hotel would look out his window, and he couldn't help but to look in the neighbor's house. Not that he was spying or anything, but he would see them in their house in the night, and they had on these funny black hats, pointy hats, and they would be stirring these big boiling pots of stuff, and they would be saying all these words and having all kinds of strange things going over there with crystal balls and make with their hands like this, like that, and running around, mixing things and pouring things and bubbling and steaming. And sometimes they would go over to the window towards the hotel and they would be like saying different kind of words and pointing their fingers and making with their fingers different things. And sometimes the people from the hotel would go to the owner, and you think, they would say, "You know, it looks like there's witches next door. It looks like they're saying different things and making different kind of faces and different kind of things. Hey, aren't you worried about these witches next door?" "No, I'm not worried. Don't worry about it. We have mezuzahs here. I learn Torah here. I daven here. I have a bracha for my Rebbe to be here. I'm not going to worry." And once in a while, the people from the town would come over, even the goyim. "Aren't you worried about this hotel? You know, never did the owners ever finish 1 year in the hotel before something happened. Aren't you worried?" "No, I'm not worried." Now, in the next few weeks that the Yid was in the hotel, a lot of people came to stay. A lot of people came to the restaurant. Baruch Hashem, they made a lot of money. They gave tzedakah. They paid back the parets the money that he lent them to buy all the things they needed to start the hotel. And everything was going seemingly very nicely, even with the neighbors being the way they were, until one day the Yid woke up and he felt sick. I mean, it happens, you wake up and you don't feel well. But this was a kind of sick that he never felt before. Very shvach, his stomach, his head. He never felt this way before. He felt very strange. And he thought it's going to go away. And he thought maybe during the day he felt a little bit better, but he was sick. He didn't know what it was. He went to the doctor. The doctor checked him all over. "You're okay, nothing wrong with you. Maybe, you know, you just didn't feel good when you woke up or whatever. Sometimes, you know, a person doesn't feel good. It'll probably go away. I don't have to give you any medicine because there's nothing wrong." The next day, he woke up. He thought he would feel better. He did not feel better. He felt even worse. Each day that went by, he felt worse and worse. He was getting very sick. And the doctor did not figure out what it was. He couldn't find anything wrong. And other doctors that the Yid went to see also, they said there's nothing wrong that we could find out. We don't know what it is. You're definitely sick, but we don't know what it is. The Yid felt himself that something is wrong. And he wants to go to the Alter Rebbe. He felt a little bit worried. He wants to go to the Alter Rebbe actually for two things. He wanted to go and just to tell the Alter Rebbe how Baruch Hashem they're doing well in the hotel, and thank the Alter Rebbe that he told him to go to the hotel because he was learning and davening and he was making parnasa. On the other hand, he felt a little bit like he wants to tell the Alter Rebbe he's very sick and the doctors don't know what it is. Not that he wants to complain, but you know, he's concerned, he's worried, he tried to go to the doctors, and when you try to do everything you can in a regular way and nothing is happening to help you, so you go to your Rebbe. You don't want to bother your Rebbe, but you know, you're concerned. You just don't let it go. You try everything you can. Now you go to your Rebbe. And now the Yid traveled to Liadi, to the town of the Alter Rebbe. And he got there. By the time he got there, he felt very schwach, very weak, and very sick. He came on an Erev Shabbos. It happened to be Parshas Balak. In the summertime, an Erev Shabbos. That night, he wanted to go to shul. He couldn't even move from the place he was staying. He was so sick. He was too schwach to even walk to shul. Oy, I came all the way to the Alter Rebbe, and now I can't even go to the shul? Oy, I hope by tomorrow morning I'm able to go to the shul. He didn't even go to shul. He hardly got to the Friday night Kiddush with the Suda. He hardly even made it. He fell asleep. He woke up the next morning with all of his koyach, with all of his strength that he had left. He somehow got himself to go to shul. He walked into shul. The davening had already started, because he couldn't make it for the davening. He wasn't feeling well. He got there kindalach while the davening had already started, and then he started Kriyas HaTehillah.